Isn't it true also that in that day there won't be a sun and moon? The light of the entire world
in the
millennium.
There will be sun and moon.
Okay. Okay, then in the eternal state they'll...
The millennium is a physical realm. There will be people living. They will be eating, drinking, living, doing everything. The temple will be built in there. There will be sacrifice being offered. But the sun will be changed. It will be twice its power, as we read in the book of Isaiah. The moon will be seven times its power. There will be no more war. There will be no desert anymore. There will be no crying babies anymore. There will be no more different languages anymore. It's a time of restoration, as the Apostle Peter said in Acts chapter 3. It's a time of refreshment. God would the curse will be removed, because that creation that was given to Adam to rule and was subjected to him, he given it up to Satan, and Satan now having a free way to do whatever he wants and turn it upside down. The whole creation groaned. We groaned. In that time, it's a time of restoration. He will bring everything perfect to God. He will bring the whole, he will bring everything again. It will be a time of reconciliation and a time of redemption. The fruit of it will be displayed in that world to come.
And in that setting, Brother Mike, it doesn't say that the sun and moon are not there. It says, and there is no need for them.
The city right. does not need them.
Does not need them. In creatorial, they're going to be there in the, but they're going to shine, as we have heard, in a greater way than we're acquainted with them right now. But it is all the focus of the center of all things. That in the millennium, the expression of the language of John is that Christ has to be all in all. He's going to be everything in that scene. I mean, we're not going to be occupied how the sun is shining and how's the moon and is it going to rain today. There's no occupation like this. But every person will be occupied that there is one who will reign in righteousness, and there is one that will maintain every right of God. And that's why I want to come back to Abraham, because I don't want to lose sight of this. I think it will give us clarity as to that city, but also what they're looking forward to see. See, Abraham was looking for that city. So if we say he was looking for the assembly, well, then we took away the mystery. Behold, I tell you a mystery. It was something hidden God. So if we are claiming it's something hidden God, and yet these men, they saw the city, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't reconcile. But they were looking for that coming day. The builder and maker is God. It's not really the city. It is really who has the foundation and the builder of that city. And this is the anticipation for us. Why do we love his appearing? It's not for all the beauty we're going to see. Oh, wonderful. We're going to see beauty. We're going to see life. We're going to see things that we can never even imagine. But why do we love his appearing? It's the same thing. They saw the city. We're gone. We love his appearing to see Christ magnified. Christ exalted. And one would say it in a simple way. It was said of Solomon when he reigned that God exceedingly magnified Solomon. Now take that expression. God exceedingly magnified Solomon. So if God is saying these two words that are extremely heavy when you put them together, as to a man, what do you think he's going to do in the millennium for his son? So that's where the object of it is all the highlight of the Lord Jesus himself. Although all these things are going to happen, they're going to take place, but the language of John is that everything focused around the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
So there's a scripture, Psalm 72, that gives us a sense of how God is going to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks of Solomon, but the language, if you translate it, refers to Christ.
Yes.
King shall bow down before him. And other language in that psalm gives you a picture of what will happen in that day.
He will endure as the sun. Because again, that is the millennium. He will, you know, as the moon. He will be there. It will be men that come with blessing to him. Man has been building cities. And Abraham was familiar with one. It was Babylon just a chapter before. But he was not looking for that city of man that caused confusion. And every administration, this is the whole idea of city. The idea of a city is the idea of administration. Man is building administration and it's causing not order, but confusion. God is building a city. There will be an administration in that world to come. The government will be upon his shoulder. He will govern in righteousness. He will rule in righteousness. And if we're looking for righteousness, it's not going to be here today. You could change president and kings and queens and prime minister, could change them every 2 years, every 7 years, every 6 months. Until he comes, whose right it is, he will be governing in order. There will be a city, an administration that will rule in righteousness. The wicked is not going to be called righteous in that day. Today they are. And the noble is not, and the wicked is not going to be called noble in that day. Today they are. But in that day, there will be an administration that is built by God. It will be structured by God. It will be governed by God. And that's really the display of it. Because man, that was the purpose of God, if I should say, for Adam, to rule. He didn't. So God is not giving up. God has appointed a man. And he will order and govern the world by him. The administration will be by the Lord Jesus Christ.
So if you want to understand the millennium, go to the Transfiguration Mount.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You see, who is the sun? Who is the light? There's no need for the sun. Why? Because all of a sudden it's his own that is being transfigured in that scene to come. And how wonderful, brethren, to take hold of that truth and to have an impact upon our lives. That he is the one who is going to be supreme. And the thing that one would say in relation to the millennium, because in Revelation, we said in John, remember what we said in John. The first chapter, the tabernacle. Second chapter is temple. Revelation, the where we are. The first part is tabernacle. The second part is what? Is temple. So he starts in John. He finishes in Revelation with the same theme. There is a tabernacle and there is a temple. And how wonderful are the writings, because they are by the Spirit of God. There will be a temple, dear brethren. Christ will be all in all, and we thank God for it.
I just want to make a pretty obvious point. Going back to Abraham, he waited for the city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham's view was that city. That had an impact upon how he lived at the time. Mm-hmm. I would say this, that we need a better grasp of this truth that we're talking about, so that it would impact our hearts today. Mm-hmm. To live for the day that is to come. Sometimes we hear people say these words, but to be honest with you, if you go at the rank and file of the fellowship, people don't understand what you're talking about. And I mean that seriously. That we need that to be clarified. Because now it really has an impact upon when we read the Old Testament. There's a lot in the Old Testament that relates to what you're talking about. And a lot of us also are living today expecting this government and that government to do what we want. That's, I mean, even within our fellowship. And I'm being honest. If we embrace this truth, that corrects all of that. No matter who, if it's Republican or Democrat or whoever.
There is a Christian only among us. We shouldn't have any other anything. I want to really highlight that, because as a result of that, we realize that we're foreigners, strangers in this earth, and we don't get to entangle ourselves with the affair of this life. How many believers, true believers in the Lord Jesus, and just really in a kind of a simple way, I don't want to criticize anybody, get entangled of the political things of this world. We are not. We're like Abraham. Every man is building his administration. We know what's going to happen. We are looking for that day when righteousness will reign. If we are looking for righteousness here, we're wasting our time and we're going to get disappointed time after time again. My responsibility here as a believer in the Lord Jesus, as we have said before, again, the whole idea of a lifestyle that is completely as a result, because I'm beholding the glory of the Lord, I know where it's going to be done right. I understand the scripture very clearly. It's going to have impact on my life. I walk in this world here as a stranger and pilgrim. I walk in this world telling everybody about that city. You're looking for righteousness? Actually, we get entangled sometimes in a political discussion. We do. Everybody say something. Look at what's... And you know what? They say, hey, I know one who's going to fix it right. And they ask you, well, who is that? Who is the candidate? Well, he's already had it. And he is already coming. Just a matter of time. Do you want to be with that party? Christian. It's a good party to be part of, because the leader of that one who will rule completely in this, there's no dishonesty in him. He doesn't have a hidden agenda. He spilled it right out, and he will do good to the whole universe when he comes to reign. It will wean me from entangled again, and it will have a lifestyle that people will ask us, why are we different than everybody else? Because we belong to him.
I just want to end the session with a thought of endearment. You look at Hebrews 11 in verse 16. And then another verse also in Hebrews chapter 2. But Hebrews 11, 16. Speaking of the faithful of old, says, but now they desire a better country, that is, and heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared for them a city. Isn't that so cool? God's done it. He hath prepared for them a city. Now watch Hebrews 2 and verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, which cause is not ashamed to call them brethren. That ties us to Christ so wonderfully. And all the promises, even as we have just been looking at that heavenly city, is already as good as done. Because he will see and dwell with his brethren in that place.